This is Helen Gurley Brown again, speaking to girls this time who are, in my opinion, the luckiest of sexes. I just don't believe we have the worst of it, or that we're more often wounded in love. I've seen more men writhing in pain over some little creep or big creep than I've ever seen women destroyed by men. It seems to me men are more pure and defenseless in their need for us. Too many of us treat them like green stamps to be cashed in for the prizes, the home, the baby, the status. When a guy wants a woman, it's because she's a woman. Well, anyway, I think life is luscious when you're a girl, and the most luscious part of all is loving a man. I'd like to start this girl chat with a facet of love that's interested me most of my life, and that is, how do you love a man or find a man to love when you aren't pretty? Some people think I am pretty, and, well, I admit I do look better than I used to, but I can remember what it was like to be the less pretty one in every single girlfriend combination and to be looked over and then never asked out by men who insisted on a dazzler for a date. It's okay. Everybody likes to look at pretty girls. But how do we unspectacular ones compete? I'm sure you know the obvious ways, being a personality whiz and listening like you've been snake-charmed when a man opens his mouth, and being firm of bosom and lithe of figure. Also, you know to wear dreamy dresses, even if you have to hold three jobs at one time to afford them, and to splash perfume all over you, or better still, drench cotton with it and tuck it in your bra. If you aren't doing all these things, my plain friend, then you don't really want a man. As to new noses and fake lashes and straightened teeth, I'm all for them, and so are most men who really love women. If you're worried about how to break the news to him that it's a wig, well, I think in your most guileless way you simply say, "Do you know that I have on a wig tonight? You see, I happen to have this miserable baby fine hair, so sometimes I wear a wig. Now, I want you to be a big, brave, strong boy and not faint, because I'm going to go and take my wig off." Then disappear to the bathroom or bedroom if you aren't already there. Remove the wig, brush your hair, and return to your guest. It's just as simple as though you'd taken off a Lily Dashay hat. However, I guess I'm ahead of my story. Suppose you aren't in an apartment. Suppose you've just met him and you want to ensure seeing him again. If you were gorgeous, presumably there wouldn't be much of a problem. Men always seem to want to see gorgeous girls again, and I think these first confrontations with a man are when a plainish girl longs most desperately to be more beautiful. Other times it isn't so important. But you know, I've decided after years and years of studying these first meetings, and as you know, I married late, I've decided that an ordinary-looking girl does have something going for her. I don't subscribe to that ridiculous notion that she looks as good as a beauty, but I do believe some plainish girls have a kind of delicate, delicious advantage, and that is their need, their almost uncontainable longing to make good with this man. Perhaps it's why very poor, but very brave boys in Mexico become legendary heroes facing death in the afternoon. There isn't any other way they can become famous or beloved. No football fields, no corporations to work out in, so they make it with what they do have, which is guts. A plain girl has only her enormous wish and her guts, too. Plus, of course, the other surface lures we just mentioned. Those are the only things she has with which to become beloved, but I think they're enough. A well-known female connoisseur once mused, "Why is it flat-chested girls are the sexiest in the world?" "They have to be," I said. And it's true. If you lack the cleavage that's bound to please, but you crave love and to be courted just as much as the bosomy girl, then I think we concave ones almost will ourselves into a certain surface kind of sexiness, at least. How does it work when you're alone with a man? Well, for one thing, I think you never let your eyes leave his face. You simply go on the make in a very quiet, inside, physical kind of way, and you pray. Let your eagerness and desire, filtered through charm, of course, go to work. you turn on the plain girl power. Being skitterish and fidgety aren't allowable. You must be very quiet if you can, and extreme primness and properness and only speaking when spoken to, well, that won't do either. You've got to come on a little bit more than that. Be as alert as an eel and ride his thought waves and talk waves as though you were a surfer. I can't tell you exactly how it works. I just know the plain girl power to intrigue a man is there if you tap it. And I believe that marshalling every bit of charm and womanliness and plunging in up to your armpits and giving it everything you've got with no guarantee of success is one of the most exhilarating experiences that can happen to a woman. I believe there's the same kind of danger and sparkle and fire inherent in these meetings, plain girl versus desirable man, as there must have been when Cleopatra had herself rolled up in a rug and delivered to Caesar. And there's quite a bit of evidence to prove that Cleo was a bit of a plain girl herself.